You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Launched last year's Oxfam's What She Makes campaign aimed to get answers about the conditions in which New Zealand's biggest clothing brands' merchandise is produced. Most recently, the campaign released scores in relation to the transparency of the brands, with Hollensteins and Glassons only receiving a 2 out of 5. I spoke to spokesperson Shalomi Daniels about the results of their transparency report and the future steps in the What She Makes campaign.
So the What She Makes campaign basically is about making sure that the women who make our clothes get paid a living wage, so that they and their families are then able to lead a life with dignity and are able to basically have their needs met, as well as have some left over for a bit of savings. So basically the campaign focuses on making sure that the women who are making our clothes in different parts of the world are paid a living wage for what they do.
Sorry, and I wanted to ask you quickly about a rating system for your brand tracker and the 5 milestones for which companies are evaluated against.
Sure. So this campaign, the What She Makes campaign, was launched in November last year, that's in November 2022. And where we have started off the campaign by reaching out to 6 brands in Aotearoa and invited them to embark on a living wage journey. So that journey is obviously, and we understand that that's not something that can be achieved overnight. So we have a 4-year plan in place. And over those 4 years, the brands are expected to meet various milestones, so that at the end of it, we have the brands paying the women who make our clothes a living wage. So currently, the rating that we have just shared last week was to do with the second milestone. And the second milestone focuses on brands being transparent about their supply chains. That is about the factories that make the clothes and basically various details about that. So, for instance, where are those factories located? What is the number of workers in each factory? What is the gender breakdown like? And also a commitment from these brands that they'll keep that information updated and renewed at least every 6 months. So this particular rating looked at how transparent the brands were being about this information, whether they had all of that information available, easily accessible online on their websites for the public, for interested persons to look at that information. So basically that was the milestone and the rating that came out last week, which we have called the transparency milestone.
Well, part of you publishing that part of the milestone, you gave the brands a rating out of 5, and many of the brands performed well. Kathmandu, Macpac, H&M and Lululemon all received 5 stars as part of this transparency milestone. But Hollensteins and Glassons received 2 stars. Can you talk a little bit about what that implies about the business and what they didn't provide?
So yes, you're right. So most of the brands, we are very happy to say, did quite well and did get 5 stars because they put out nearly all of that information that we had asked for. So all the information is complete, easily accessible. Whereas the 2 brands, that's Glassons and Hollensteins Brothers, which only received a 2-star rating, that was because they did not meet all our criteria. So basically all that information requested in order to make sure their supply chains are transparent was not accessible online. And we also could not see a commitment to renew that information or to keep that information updated, rather, on a regular basis. So hence the difference in rating, and that's why those 2 brands got a lower rating, got a 2-star rating. But again, something that we are also focusing on and that we'd like to emphasize is the fact that it's never too late. So whilst the rating went out last week, that does not mean that it ends there. So the brands are still very much encouraged to be transparent, and even in the coming weeks and months to work at putting out that information. So despite the rating going out last week, basically it's not to say that it ends there, but that we strongly encourage the brands to still keep working at their transparency and to improve it and to have that information available as soon as they can.
Mm. And I think a lot of people would argue that these brands don't know what's going on or don't have bargaining power in these factories. Can you talk a bit about the power that they have to affect change for workers working in factories producing their clothes?
Sure. So what's important to remember is that these brands actually do have quite a bit of bargaining power, in the sense that they are free to choose their factories, they are free to go through the various information available and pick the factories that best align with their beliefs and what they what they want to stand for. So that is why we are working with these brands on this particular milestone and on this particular journey of a living wage, because we believe brands do have the choice between factories and do have that power or that capability to make that choice to that a living wage is paid in the factories that come under these brands or that these brands are working with. So therefore, I would say, and so basically just to say that, the brands can choose who they work with. So therefore, what we are encouraging the brands to do, especially through this milestone, is to be transparent about those factories, about where they're located, about various information about that factories, so that the brands also then have that information handy and available for them to monitor for compliance and to monitor and make sure that, you know, all human rights standards are met, etc. So we believe this milestone is not just about making sure information is available to the public or to people like us, but that it also helps the brands themselves to make sure that their factories they are working with comply with international human rights standards.
Excellent. And there's three more milestones coming up. The next one is separate labor costs. So factoring in labor costs in their calculations, to publish a plan, which is coming in November 2024, and the last one is to pay a living wage. But would you be able to talk about, in some of these factories, what a living wage actually means for these women?
Sure. So how the living wage itself is calculated obviously differs in each country, and there are certain measurements that are used, such as the anchor methodology, etc., which take into consideration things like how many calories a person or a family would need, other transportation, etc., costs and things like that. But overall, and then the living wage itself, very technically, is calculated based on these various methodologies. But broadly speaking, what we look at or what we have in mind when we speak about a living wage is where the people who make our clothes, the women who make our clothes, are not paid an amount that is just sufficient for them to meet the bare minimum needs, but that is sufficient for things like food, utilities, housing, healthcare, maybe education for their kids, definitely education for their kids, clothes and transport, and also that they have some left over for savings for a rainy day. So we are looking at a wage that kind of provides for all of these, so that the women who make our clothes and their families are able to live decent lives and are able to lead lives with dignity.
That was Shalomi Daniels, spokesperson for Oxfam New Zealand, about the What She Makes campaign and the push to have a living wage in the factories that make our clothes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.